At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me. The Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. Few, if anyone, are doing more in the Ole Miss NIL space, player procurement space, than Riverland. Visit them online. Give them your business. RiverlandRoofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit. Ben on Twitter. He is Zach Berry at Zach underscore Berry. And we both write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. And we're together today on this edition of Talk of Champions. Because if there was ever a time for Ben and Zach to talk recruiting, it's now. Wednesday, it pops off. The portal is opening up. Things are happening. It's recruiting time now that the regular season for Ole Miss football is over. They finished 9-3, 5-3 in the SEC, await their college football playoff designation, whether that be one of the last teams out or one of the last teams in. It's looking more and more like they'll be one of the last teams out. We'll touch on that maybe, but really for us in these purposes on this edition of Talk of Champions, bring Zach in, pepper him with my Ole Miss recruiting questions, add my flavor and my sourcing stuff that I've heard as well. It's scoop time. Hey, Zachary, how we doing?
We're good. Kids are back in school. It was a tough scene yesterday. Everybody was reeling. Everybody was tired. Had a good Thanksgiving, though. Got to see a lot of family, but yeah, man, kids these days, you know, I'm gonna show my age here, and I'm gonna do the back in my day thing.
Yep.
You know, Ben, we're about the same age. When we were in school, you got Thanksgiving Day off, and that was it. Like, I remember, like, the last 2 years of high school, they gave us the Friday off, but that was it. Nowadays, kids get a whole week, and when said kids are 5 years old and under, it starts to wear on you a little bit, but they're back in school. We're good. We're back home. Egg Bowl was fun. I thought the weather was fantastic. It was elite football weather. Game was exciting. Probably not as exciting as Ole Miss fans wanted it to be. Probably wanted a little more scoring, but it had a lot in there. Defense showed up per usual, and Jax Dart broke the record, all-time leading passer in Ole Miss history. Pretty cool. I never thought anybody would eclipse that record, Ben. I thought Eli was untouchable, but you tip your cap to Dart. Dude's an absolute warrior, and you know, won more games than anybody at Ole Miss, which is also pretty cool. But yeah, college football playoff, we can shelve that for right now, and let's talk some recruiting.
Let's talk some recruiting. My Thanksgiving was great, man. I had probably the best Thanksgiving of my life, mostly because I just spent it with my wife and kids. And yeah, mine are 12 and 8. They're not that, you know, herding cats age where you got to chase them around everywhere. And Gracie and I, this Christmas season, starting this week at Theater Memphis, will be in A Christmas Carol all the way up until December 23rd at Theater Memphis. So if y'all want to come see this idiot, up there is three different parts: Topper, a charity collector, and Fezziwig. I keep calling him Fozziwig because a Muppet Christmas Carol is the GOAT Christmas movie. Come see us at Theater Memphis. We'd love to see you. Come and talk to us. That's been my life for the last handful of weeks. It's been driving an hour and 14 minutes every night to Memphis, driving back, but I've gotten to spend some quality time with Gracie, and it's been a blessing, man. So while you're still in that stage where you're just trying to make sure that they stay safe and stay as people and grow up as normal people, I'm getting to spend some quality time with my oldest, and I'm very thankful for that. So come to Theater Memphis, check us out. But here and now, it's about Ole Miss recruiting. I wanted to talk about the playoffs. I wanted to talk more about Ulysses Bentley because apparently my name is that guy now, but I'm not doing that. We're going to talk about recruiting because, first, the signing day for high school, the first of two signing days, opens on Wednesday. The second signing day is February, as it used to be when it used to be an unofficial college football holiday. And then, of course, throughout it all, the portal. The portal is where Ole Miss will do its most hay. Number one, I think, pressing recruiting question as we get started here. What's the latest with Deuce Knight, the five-star quarterback, in-state quarterback, committed to Auburn? I wrote about this in the War Room on the Ole Miss Spirit last week. I've heard and have been hearing about the momentum gaining with Deuce Knight, and the one thing I was told was if he shows up for the Egg Bowl, follow the visits, watch out. Where is Ole Miss now since Deuce did show up for the Egg Bowl, continues to show interest, but committed to Auburn, and now it's just a few days away.
Yeah, I got to Oxford early Friday, and I was like, man, I was trying to get down there in a hurry. I didn't want to stop and get any food or anything. I was worried about traffic and, you know, getting to my parking spot and all that. So I went to the Union to get some coffee, and as I'm waiting in line there, I get a text that Deuce Knight has arrived. So quickly threw that up on the board, and then you and Billy did your thing and got that out there for the people. But yeah, it was always, you know, hey, if he shows up for the Egg Bowl, okay, game's on. If he doesn't, you know, it's pretty telling. We'll see. But right now, I still lean Auburn. I think the mounds of pressure for Hugh Freeze to get Deuce Knight, especially with what's looking like Auburn losing two quarterbacks to the portal. You know, the guys can't enter until December 9th, but it looks like both Hank Brown and Holden Grenier are going to get into the portal. So, yeah, he's going to have somebody there with Walker White. And I actually don't know if Peyton Thorne can come back. Maybe he can. I don't know if Auburn would want him to come back. But yeah, I still think it's Auburn. I know Ole Miss, you know, did the whole, you know, proverbial red carpet treatment. He rode around in the golf cart and got to see everything. I mean, he's been to Ole Miss plenty. It's not like he needed to see anything else. It was just more of checking in with the staff, hanging out. I know he's mulling things over. I've talked to a couple Ole Miss commits, like Shekai Mills Knight and Caleb Cunningham and Jarkobi Hobson, Squirrel Clardy. Like, all those guys are plugging away. I mean, they are trying. They're doing the, you know, they're doing the thing where you don't want to be too in his face and bug him too much, but, you know, just present enough to where he knows that hey, you know, we want you to come over here and join us here in this 25 class. But I think it's Auburn. And also, I think part of it is it's kind of twofold, right, Ben, where I think Auburn really needs him and is going to pay him like a five-star. And I kind of think right now Ole Miss wants Deuce Knight. There's no question. You know, don't take this. This isn't a sour grapes thing. But also, there's some nuance and some context here. With Austin Simmons, Walker Howard, and A.J. Maddox, right now in that room, it's not a super pressing matter. Now, that can change if Walker Howard gets in the portal or he gets in the portal after the spring. You know, they'll have to reevaluate because at that point, it's just Austin Simmons and A.J. Maddox. So I think it's layered there with Auburn's, you know, I don't want to say desperate need to get him, but it's pretty close. And Ole Miss is feeling pretty good about who is in that quarterback room for 2025. So I lean Auburn here, but you know, it's 48 hours away. You never know. Things can always change at the drop of a hat in recruiting. You know, he did the cryptic Instagram story where he just took a picture of his speedometer in his car and did all the thinking emojis. So he showed up. He showed up. So that's important. So it definitely shows that he's mulling things over last minute. He's wanting to do his due diligence, but I still think it's Auburn.
Outside of Deuce Knight, who are the other pressing targets that you're paying attention to going into Wednesday? I know Tyler Miller is one of them, but who else?
Yeah, Tyler Miller, he's still, I think he's LSU. I was never able to see him Friday. I talked to a couple people around Ole Miss. They said that he did not show up. Did go to Baton Rouge. You know, I talked to Shea Dixon earlier last week, and Billy also talked to some people at LSU, and you know, the mom went on the record and said, you know, hey, we're comfortable with LSU. We like it. Tyler likes it. Because Tyler hasn't talked to he hasn't really talked to anybody. Like he's not even talking to LSU people. Like he's shut it down. It's just his mom that's talking. But I think it's LSU. It wasn't for a lack of trying. Ole Miss went and saw him multiple times, you know, during the dead period, and he came to a game earlier this year. But I think it's LSU. But outside of him, the ones that I think are trending in the right direction for Ole Miss, you got to start with Racine Guillory, the running back from Aledo, Texas. If you saw my post last night, you know, kind of a behind the scenes look at the photo shoots that Ole Miss official visitors do. It was a not so subtle photo shoot for Guillory. He's in the uniform and he's holding up a sign that says Oxford bound. so it, I think Ole Miss is in a really good spot there. Billy and I have both put in our RPM picks. And then it gets interesting with a couple flip targets. Tyler Lockhart showed up Friday. Confirmed that with a couple of the guys when I was on the sidelines. Tyler Lockhart does the Instagram, you know, story, posts that he's in the stands. He hung around a good bit Friday evening. When I talked to Caleb Cunningham throughout the weekend, he said he saw him at the facility when he was getting in for his OV and said that you know, he told me like the vibes were high. He said he thought Tyler was enjoying himself and had a good time. I think he's legitimately torn. I think he has a great relationship with the staff at Mississippi State, but I think that, you know, being at that game and seeing it in person and seeing Pooh Paul and TJ Daugherty and Suntarian Perkins and Kari Coleman, those guys playing linebacker. And then, you know, Pete Golding has not stopped recruiting him. The proof is there on the field, right? You see that defense, you see how good it is. You see the coaching and the development of guys like Suntarian Perkins, you know, from year one to year two. I mean, just a night and day different player. TJ Daugherty, you know, gets in the system. You know, he was at Ole Miss all last year, but he didn't get to play. This year he plays like an all SEC caliber linebacker. And then Pooh Paul, I mean, I think is should be a first team All-American. He was outstanding. So not only just the ties with Golding and seeing it in person, I think that Ole Miss has really turned a corner there. I put a RPM pick in for him to flip. You know, it's another one that it's going to come down to the wire. He's going to decide what he wants to do, but I think Ole Miss is trending in the right direction there. And then Connor Hose, the Arkansas offensive tackle commit, was pretty much all locked in with Arkansas after committing in the summer. And then he shows up on Friday. Ole Miss had been working those, those back channels and still been in communication with him constantly. And I think it's gonna pay off. I think Ole Miss has really turned up the heat, and I do think that Ole Miss has a really good chance of flipping him on. I think he's gonna announce it on Thursday. He's not gonna do it Wednesday. You know, he talked to Billy. He talked to Steve Wiltfong. He just talked about the atmosphere being great, and the coaching staff was amazing. And the one thing that stood out to me was that he said he had a list of questions, but Ole Miss answered him before he could even ask him. So Ole Miss was prepared. You know, they understood the assignment. So I think that really stood out to him. And you also kind of have to think, Ben, you know, there's some uncertainty with Sam Pittman. Is he going to be back? I know there's been some rumors of, you know, he might just be retiring. He might just be hanging it up. So we'll see. I think Ole Miss is in a good spot there. And then the other flip target, Saquon Miles, JUCO offensive tackle, just a mammoth human being. He's committed to Mississippi State, and he came in town. I'm not there yet with an RPM pick, but I've talked to a couple people that said that the trip really turned his head a little bit and got his attention. And look, I know the score wasn't truly indicative of the two ships passing in the night, but you know, Ole Miss's program is going one way, Mississippi State's going another. I know a lot of times that the wins and losses don't really matter to recruits, but you can't argue with which program inside the state has the momentum and which is, you know, really moving in the right direction. So maybe that matters to Miles. You know, he's a JUCO guy, so he's older. He's kind of, you know, down to business. Like, I need to get somewhere where I can play, get developed, and then try to get to the NFL. And Ole Miss is going to have to replace a lot of experience, Ben. You know, they're losing a ton of offensive linemen and a ton of guys that played a lot of snaps. So they need some instant impact juice. They need to bring some guys in to compete with the guys that are coming back. And I think Miles fits that. He's a huge, big body guy that they could put either left or right tackle and put him in there to, you know, force the issue with some of these other guys to compete.
You touched on Chris Poole-Paul. I'd been hearing for a couple of weeks that Ole Miss is really working to try to get him to come back. He has a year of eligibility remaining. Cool. But then Pro Football Focus rolls out its mock draft predictions today. In the first round, they have Walter Nolan going number 16 overall to Tampa Bay. Trey Amos, who had a tremendous year, transferred from ULL to Alabama, became their nickel corner, and really didn't do that much, comes here and absolutely emerges as a shutdown corner, was incredible all year. Pro Football Focus has him going number 28 to the Minnesota Vikings. Princely Umanmiela, number 42 overall to the Bengals in the second round. Then there's Chris Poole-Paul at number 48, just six spots later, followed by Trey Harris and Jared Ivey in the 60s, both in the second round. What you're seeing is that Ole Miss, what you wanted, what you hoped to see in the title contention year happen. I mean, you got your transfer impact with Princely and Poole and Walter Nolan and Trey Amos. You got stepping up and taking their game to a next level in Jared Ivey. A lot of good things happened. Unfortunately, Ole Miss suffered three losses, mostly because if you look at this, I only count one offensive player in these six, seven.
Crazy. Yeah.
Projected rounds, and it shows you that really that's what it comes down to is some offensive inefficiencies. And I really wanted to get into the playoff stuff today. I told myself I'm just going to sit down and talk to the people about it, break it all down. But y'all know what the score is right now. Bottom line, Ole Miss is on the outside looking in. You're just hoping South Carolina doesn't jump Ole Miss, despite Ole Miss and South Carolina having the same record and Ole Miss boat racing South Carolina at their place by 24 points. And if Juice Wells, the former South Carolina wide receiver, doesn't fumble the ball through the back of the end zone, it's a 34-3 win. And does that matter? Do the games matter? But this
he dropped two, or no, Dart overthrew him on one too. So it could have been 41-3.
And also, Lane made a good point on Sunday night. If they were still playing, I'm not sure that South Carolina has scored a touchdown or would have scored a touchdown. But Juice also dropped a touchdown against Florida, dropped a it was a tough year for Juice. So when you look at what they're looking for, Juice should be coming back. What they're looking for as far as portal targets, I think wide receiver is an obvious spot to start because they do need impact. I'm working to get in touch with Deion Smith, the Ole Miss football recruiting Bigfoot. I know. I know. Barry and Brown. There's reporting on KSR elsewhere that he could be getting into the portal. That's a name that we've talked about as far or in connection with Ole Miss for years now. That would be an obvious fit from Texas Tech last night on the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com and Fleetwood on three. Billy Embody wrote a story about Texas Tech transfer freshman wide receiver Micah Hudson, a former five-star prospect. He's gotten to the portal, and he has interest in Ole Miss. What are some? Who are some other? Not necessarily just receivers, five star plus. Yeah, that means the elite of the elite.
Legit.
Yeah. So those are two names, but that's just at wide receiver. What else are we hearing as far as the portal, early targets, and all those things?
Yeah, me and Billy both got wind of both Micah Hudson and Kevin Concepcion from NC State as two legitimate names to watch at wide receiver. Outside of those two, it's still pretty early. I think more guys are getting in the portal today and tomorrow and, you know, leading into championship week. I think wide receiver, first and foremost, because you're losing Trey Harris and you're losing Jordan Watkins. That's two guys that were super impactful and played a lot of football and caught a lot of passes. So you're going to need to go get a legitimate wide receiver one guy. And look, I was talking to somebody on the board about this earlier. This is just my opinion, and look, I know he had a lot of warts. He had a lot of bad you know, bad spots that he just did not perform. But I'm of the opinion that Juice Wells was not used properly. I don't think he's a take the top off the defense type of guy. I think he's more useful in space. So they got to find someone to compliment him and Caden Lee, which Caden Lee, by the way, quietly had the second most catches on this team and was a stud. You got to go get somebody to
T.O. There was nothing quiet about my guy Honeycomb Lee doing the thing this year. Again,
well, I was banging.
I called the breakout before the year started. Just give me my love, man. Come on.
I was banging that drum when he signed. The staff did a really nice evaluation job there. He was super productive in high school. I mean, he put up crazy numbers, but I think a lot of programs thought he was too small. He'd take too long to develop. And I mean, the guy just went nuts this year. But yeah, I think you got to go find someone that's a wide receiver, one outside wide receiver. I think that, you know, a Lane Kiffin offense from, you know, first off, really thrives when you can dictate pace with the run game. So we'll get to running back in a second, but Kiffin's offense is also can really put people in a bind when you have a legitimate wide receiver one on the outside that can win those one-on-one battles a la Trey Harris the last couple of years. So they got to go get that. Defensive line for sure. Going to need to probably go get an edge. They really like the underclassmen. I mean, let's not get it twisted. I mean, Cam Franklin, DJ Holmes, William Eccles, Jam Brown, all those underclassmen are going to play and play a lot. They played a good bit this year, but you're going to try to go get those one-year rentals like you did with Princely and Walter Nolan. Those edge prospects are expensive, and they're going to start getting in the portal, but Kiffin and Randall Joyner and Pete Golding are going to do a nice job with that, as they always do. So those names, when we hear them, we will get you those names. On the interior, though, I mean, we got to start with Jaheim Otis. He's got the relationship with Pete Golding. I talked to people at Bama Online and a couple other sources around the state of Mississippi. Everybody expects him to go to Ole Miss and link back up with Golding. But yeah, it's still pretty early as far as targets at, you know, certain positions of need. You know, I did a post last night of the five positions I think Ole Miss has to focus on, and it was offensive line, running back, wide receiver, and edge. And then was that five?
It's close. Yeah. Here's my whole thing about Jaheim Otis. If it's going to happen, if the evaluation is he can help bring him in, I think it's going to happen pretty quick.
Cornerback, of course.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Georgia cornerback goes in. He started 10 games for Georgia this year. No doubt that Ole Miss is going to reach out to him. His number is going to be astronomical. He's probably going to be one of the most highest paid players in the portal this year. Sure. Ole Miss will obviously be among those teams. That's not breaking any news. That's not giving you any scoop. They're going to reach out and see what it is. But corner, specifically a replacement that could come in and step and start in for Trey Amos, who's leaving, a projected first rounder by Pro Football Focus. Julian Humphrey makes a ton of sense. But remember, with all these types of guys, how big is the number? And you have to consider the other needs for Ole Miss. I think, for example, running back, you'd go, oh, we'll go get a great portal running back. They love Shekai Mills-Knight. They are going to probably flip the Texas kid, right? They could go add a portal running back as well to add to that room, but with their lack of portal success after making what we can all say now is the worst personnel mistake, not paying Quinshon, even though it's a non-premium position, it didn't work because Ulysses Bentley, whatever you want to say about his usage, I went through that all Thanksgiving week. I'm done with it. I don't care anymore. That's not true. I've tried to reach out to Ulysses, so we'll keep working. But running back, I think that it's more about just get as many good options in the room as possible that are fresh, right? Like running backs with not the large mileage on them, like a Rashad Amos, who's now back in the portal and did nothing for you. Dominic Smith was fine, but not really. You see what I'm saying? Like all those other guys that they said, well, we get a bunch of bodies with Ulysses, we'll make up for it. I think this year they're going to go a different approach. I think Shekhi Mills-Knight could lead their room as early as next year. And even if he doesn't, you got another four-star running back signing potentially behind him, on and on. Add a veteran to that to push. Dominic Smith will still be back as a fourth option and a good enough fourth option, I suppose. Point is that where you would think running back would be a place where they'd splurge. No. I think they're going to splurge at wide receiver. They're going to splurge at offensive line for sure. Certainly go get an edge. But cornerback in replacing Trey Amos, considering the struggles they had at field corner, could be another sneaky high premium position too. So while the number might be super high for Julian Humphrey, don't expect Ole Miss not to swim in them waters. They're going to see if they can get it done.
Especially if, like I said, you don't need a quarterback. I mean, quarterback's arguably the most expensive. It wasn't a portal guy, but look at Colorado this year. Colorado went out and paid big money to get Jordan Seaton, the freshman All-American. Look how much different that offense was with that blindside protected. I mean, Shador had time. He could throw. It helps to have Travis Hunter, of course, but last year, Shador was running for his life and was getting his head taken off every other snap. You go and you pay a legitimate left tackle, and it changes the game for you. Ole Miss is going to try to do that. I think they're going to try to get an impact tackle to either come in and start right away or push Jaden Williams, push Micah Pettis on the right side, push all these guys that have played a lot of football and, you know, create that competition, that healthy competition, the culture that they all talk about. You know, that was the thing all the time, Ben. We talk about it on the show where guys that go to Georgia, go to Ohio State, go to Alabama, go to Oregon, they all talk about, hey, I want to go there because in practice I'm going against the best every day. That's what Ole Miss is trying to do. So they're not going to be afraid to add guys to rooms and hurt people's feelings. You mentioned running back. I do think Shekhi Mills-Knight plays a lot in 2025. I think he's that good. I predict this, you know, it's tough to do that. You know, high school to college is a huge jump. It's hard, but I think he is good enough to get in there and at least spell the starter and play a lot. You know, that was like last year. You know, it's not like I was, you know, breaking any news, but when Trey Amos signed with Ole Miss and I told people like, hey, Nick Saban thinks this guy is really good. And he shut down Brock Bowers in that SEC championship game.
We did.
It doesn't take a genius to figure out he's probably pretty good at football. And look, I mean, there were damn near 2 months this season where Trey Amos hardly had his name called because nobody would throw to him. I think you're going to have to go and spend real money at offensive line, corner, because you got to shut down that side of the field that Amos is now departing from. And then again, I think edge. I think that's big. I think you have to have that guy that people fear. I mean, Princely missing the Kentucky game and missing the LSU game, and that changed those games. And then you look at his impact when he was playing. Carson Beck still has night terrors about Princely Mamiello. I mean, he was a menace, and you pair him across from a Jared Ivey, and it just made that defense so much more lethal. You got to go and find someone else because you have to think that Cam Franklin is next up. I mean, he is the future at edge. They're going to try to go get someone that's an upperclassman, that's played a lot of football, that can come in and really add another dimension to that position. So, running back, it just kind of depends on who it is and how expensive that person will be. I know I've heard a lot about Amarian Hampton. You know, is he going to go pro? You know, is he going to leave North Carolina? I mean, that dude is a bona fide day one instant impact guy that would really change this Ole Miss offense. You know, I've heard a lot about Jamarian Wilcox from Kentucky. That guy's name has been going around the last couple of days. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in Lexington right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff behind the scenes throughout the year that people didn't really know about. I mean, that locker room was in a bad spot.
And yet Kentucky still beat Ole Miss, and that's why they're going to get left out of the playoff.
Yeah. So, you know, there's again, it's early. Guys can't enter the portal officially until the 9th, so we've still got a week. But these declarations of, hey, I'm getting in the portal, let's start to field some offers. That's happening right now. So, yeah, I think if you're Ole Miss and you're trying to allocate your resources, I think it needs to go offensive line first, corner, edge, and then running back. You know, what's Logan Diggs going to look like in 2025? Mm. You know, he pretty much had all year to rehab, but still two surgeries it's two surgeries. It's going to be tough. So, you know, who are you bringing in to pair up with Diggs and Shakob Mills-Knight and Dominique Thomas and everybody else? So the Grove Collective is good at what they do. Walker Jones and them, they seem to have a good formula. And Lane Kiffin and the staff have done a nice job the last couple of years picking their spots and not, I guess you could say, you know, might have, you know, I don't know the actual figures, but maybe, you know, maybe got over their skis with a couple guys. But for the most part, Ole Miss has done a really good job figuring out positions of need and going and getting them, especially this past year with the defense. And like you said, with the NFL, the mock drafts, it shows.
It's crazy. I mean, they had so much talent, especially on that defensive side, the greatest modern-day defense in Ole Miss history, if not the best of all time. I mean, they played incredible football. It's unfortunate that they suffered three losses, not by anything that they did necessarily. That Kentucky loss is just ugh. But Berrian Brown was a big part of that Kentucky loss, and he's been an Ole Miss recruiting target, feels like, since his senior year when he was a 4- or 5-star prospect. That would make a lot of sense. As far as Ole Miss potential transfers, I've heard some names. I'm keeping an eye on Cam Beavers. I'm keeping an eye on Aiden Williams. But so far, it's only Rashad Amos that has gotten in. And I don't really think whoever gets in, it'll be much of a surprise, right? I mean, I don't think you're going to see any guys get in just to go try to make more money. Ole Miss has done a tremendous job of re-upping its players and taking care of its players. That's why Ole Miss is so good in this space. It's not just about going and getting the best players, but also the relationship and being an organization that means what it says and says what it means in a space, the NIL transfer space, that is absolutely chaotic. And everybody's lying. Ole Miss tells you exactly what it's going to do, and it does it. So I don't expect any real surprises. But as far as Ole Miss and its roster and its building out, you can now see through what Zach has broken down here, the positions that they'll be looking for. Have you heard any names potentially of Ole Miss transfers? Anything surprising? Anything different from what I just said in regards to Ole Miss's potential deflections from its current roster?
No, I mean, I've heard the rumor of Auburn tampering with Suntarian Perkins. I would be
absolutely
floored if Perkins left for Auburn.
Same. Ole Miss is going to pay whatever it takes to keep Suntarian in Oxford, Mississippi. I know that he's already been backdoored in a number of different ways in order to try to get him to get into the portal, pay him a certain number. And listen, Auburn makes a lot of sense as far as the number one tampering school for a player whose only connections with that staff is that they're all Mississippi coaches. But I don't see that happening. Ole Miss has never let the only true marquee departure was Quinshon, and that wasn't because of anything Ole Miss didn't do. Ole Miss could have gone to the number, and now in retrospect, we should say, well, maybe they should have, because they had missed evaluations everywhere else, especially if they weren't going to play Ulysses Bentley. But that's the only one. It's not like they've had a starter leave because it just wasn't good enough here. You haven't had an ugly Jaden Rashada situation like you did with Florida and then him moving on to Georgia. I mean, you're just not seeing that, and I would be shocked, floored like you are. That's who I was talking about. It was about Sonny P, because I've already heard a ton of schools that are trying to backdoor him. But again, Ole Miss is operating at a place in this NIL and its collective that is unrivaled, really, in the country. Not that they're shelling out the most money, because – you know, the last recruiting cycle, last portal cycle, they paid more than anybody else for just two of those players. Everybody else either signed for what they got, what they were being offered at the peak value, or a little bit under. It shows you that Ole Miss has a different culture. So I'm not going to get all up in my worries about Sonny P. I think Sonny P is going to be fine. But you look at other potential transfers on the roster. Anybody else for you?
That's pretty much it. I mean, Aiden Williams, I've heard that a bunch. But Aiden's probably a good poker player from what I've seen, because like Walker Howard, I mean, body language on the sidelines for the most part, Aiden always looks like he's in a great mood. He always is in the game. I mean, there's been a couple times when Kiffin's gotten on to him, but he doesn't, from what I've seen, I'm not watching him the entire game, all 12, but like, he doesn't look like a guy that's checked out and ready to leave. So maybe he's wanting to compete. I mean, he is a Mississippi guy. Maybe he wants to stick it out one more year, because look, like I said, plenty of opportunities with Jordan Watkins and Trey Harris leaving. So, I wouldn't be shocked if he left, just to, you know, that clock's ticking. He wants to go play. But that's really it. Like, those two are the only names. I mean, the Walker Howard stuff has been out there for a couple weeks, but again, he looks happy. And I'm not going to say 100%, but I think he wants to at least stick it out and try to compete in the spring and see what happens. You know, bet on yourself, see if you can beat out Austin Simmons. And if not, go somewhere. Because, I mean, if he does, and it's not a knock on Walker, but I think he's going to take a step down to a G5 spot, just because it's probably more likely he would go and play right away. But that's pretty much it. I mean, and look, the Perkins stuff, I feel comfortable in saying I think Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding would personally make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because he's a cornerstone piece of that defense. He is he's going to be on a lot of watch lists in 2025.
And at the end of the day, remember, it's not like the Last Dance stuff was silly to begin with, because it was never a Last Dance. Nothing's stopping with this program. Yes, they lose a lot, but if you look at just the cornerstones on defense, talked about Trey Amos leaving, Chris Poupaul probably, because if he's a second-round evaluation, best of luck to him. He gave Ole Miss everything in this year, and good on him. Ole Miss would obviously love to bring him back. They've been recruiting him to bring him back. And maybe he does what, you know, Jared Ivey and others did last year. Say, I'm putting it off, and I'm going for a national championship again. But for what we do know, Xavien Harris is still coming back, and he had a monster year. Sonny P, monster year. I liked, at the end of the year, you saw more of, you know, Isaiah Hamilton. Jaden Kennedy got a little bit better. TJ Dottery is back. They have real pieces.
I got something to say about this.
Uh-oh.
We got everybody just shitting on Jaden Kennedy all year because of the one play against LSU.
I agree.
That guy, he got so many targets because nobody wants to throw at Trey Amos. Made plays all year. I still think he's one of the best open field tacklers on this defense. And look, he didn't make the play against LSU in overtime, but the guy played his tail off. And I think all the criticism's unwarranted. That was pissing me off halfway through the year, where I was like,
I can't tell that it upset you at all. It's just shocking to me.
Well, like, he had a couple plays in the Egg Bowl where I was turning around at people in the section, and I was like, I told you, like, don't act like he can't play. But anyway.
Yeah, but they have those guys, and it's on offense too.
He'll be a third-year guy.
Jaden, moving on from Austin Simmons and the excitement about what he could be, Jaden Williams coming back and healthy, if he can stay healthy, would be huge. He was their highest-graded, best offensive lineman. They didn't really have him all year because of injury stuff outside of the first couple of games. So there's so much to look forward to for Ole Miss. You expect them to be in playoff contention next year. They just got to feel – in gaps, and they're not even that serious of gaps. It's just refortifying a playoff contender like playoff contenders do. This is not where, like the old days when you said, well, if Ole Miss can just win 6-7 games for 2 years and then go for it the third year, that is not what this is. Ole Miss won 9 games and it was a disappointment. Next year, the floor will be, or maybe the line will be set at 8.5, and 9 will be at worst the expectation, even with all of the losses, because Ole Miss has shown that under Lane Kiffin, it will always be right there. You had Berrien Brown and, and maybe Caleb Odom gets in from Alabama to back up, or A.E. Daquan Wright at tight end. There's so many things that could happen. And I think what's great for Ole Miss is that it has its future at quarterback. Deuce Knight, yeah, you'd love for him to come, but if he gets paid, best of luck. See you in the portal next year, right?
That's what makes it so nuanced.
Yeah. Like Austin Simmons, you love it. You got the quarterback. You're not going to pay for the running back. You love your high school running backs coming in. A.K. Deer, maybe they get him out of the portal next recruiting cycle. I mean, that's one guy that we were told early on, no matter what happens, he's going to end up at Ole Miss. He's going to go to Alabama. He's going to sign with Alabama. But just because A.K. Deer, who they love Shekai Mills Knight. They love the Texas running back that they're about to flip. They love what Caden Lee is at wide receiver. And Aiden Williams, I am curious to see how long, if he does stick around, because there is a more obvious path to playing time. And let's not forget that he had that incredible preseason, had Lane talking about him in the press conferences. What did we learn most of all about Lane this year? When you get into Lane's doghouse, or you no longer become one of Lane's guys, it's really hard to get out of that, right? I think Aiden's suffered from that a little bit because he – showed out in the preseason. Then when he got into games, it was more of an up and down kind of deal. So there are pieces here, highly ranked pieces in recruiting, big time transfer pieces. This is not going to stop. They just got to refortify. And fortunately, they have the star edge. They want to go get another Princely, but Sonny P is that. He is that. Princely was out for a lot of the year this year. And who stepped up? Sonny P. They love Cam Franklin, Jeffrey Rush. Got to worry about Cam Beavers. I've heard some things about him. But they have real pieces, and the premium positions are mostly taken care of. You just want to add more to the toolbox, more to the play chest, if you will. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing this recruiting season, this portal season. But last thing, final thoughts as Ole Miss barrels toward the first of two signing days. Where does Ole Miss finish, do you think? Doesn't really matter, but people love to know.
Yeah, so there's 16 right now. Just published a trending or ending piece. You can read that at omspirit.com. If you held me down and stood on my throat here and made me say, who is Ole Miss signing on Wednesday? I think they get Racine Guillory. Mm-hmm. They get Tyler Lockhart.
Ooh, now that's hold on. You can't just like slide that in there.
Well, I put my pick in last night.
Oh, sorry. I didn't read it. I was at rehearsal for A Christmas Carol. Come see us at Theater Memphis. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I think they get Connor Hose, the Arkansas offensive tackle commit.
That's a four-star.
I still think they get Winston Watkins Jr., four-star wide receiver from Venice in Florida. I've talked about him plenty, but in case if you don't know, he committed to Texas A&M early, I believe as a sophomore, decommitted to Colorado as a junior, decommitted, and then just basically was like, all right, I need to take a beat. So
that's probably the right call.
Yeah. So Winston's been focusing on winning a state championship, which Venice won on Friday. So they're still alive. He's trying to win a state championship. Nationally ranked program too. They're really good. So he's announcing on Wednesday. I think it's Ole Miss or Colorado. I still give the edge to Ole Miss. He really talks a lot about Lane Kiffin, and the whole pitch was, hey, you can come be the next Elijah Moore. So not a terrible sales pitch there. Saquon Miles is interesting. I'm still not sure there. He's a Mississippi State commit, the JUCO offensive tackle. I think Ole Miss might have a slight edge, you know, last second trip for the Egg Bowl. You know, does he want to stick with State? Does he want to go with Ole Miss? I mean, there's a lot of opportunities there. And but, yeah, I think Ole Miss closes well. No Deuce Knight, no Tyler Miller. I haven't heard anything about Mario Nash. So still miss out on a couple in-state blue-chip guys, but you're replacing them with a lot of other blue chips from other states and at positions of need too. So I do think Ole Miss can close well. I don't know if it'll be good enough for top 10, but it'll definitely be top 15 for sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking that sounds – if they sign all those guys, those are four stars or better. It's hard to move up this late, but I would say 13th, 14th wouldn't be unrealistic, and that's a great class. That's a tremendous class. And don't forget, Ole Miss has the number one recruit in Mississippi, like it did last year, committed in Caleb Cunningham. He's a wide receiver, a five-star.
Three straight years.
Yeah. 3 straight years. and Caleb Cunningham, when we're talking about potential wide receiver options, there is some
We're 45 minutes in. We haven't talked about Caleb Cunningham.
There is a little bit of a debate of whether or not he's going to be one of those guys that can step in and play immediately. I love that kid. I think he could help in any number of ways.
I think he can.
I'm mentioning about because Cody Belair said, well, there's some things that could keep him from being a plug and play. But when you look at the opportunity and how Ole Miss utilizes his skill set specifically, look at Caden Lee and think of a little bit bulkier. That's Caleb Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about Ole Miss needing a big wide receiver, one guy for the outside. I mean, that's a lot to put on a true freshman. But yeah. I mean, look around the country, man. Ryan Williams and Cam Coleman. Micah Hudson, who just got in the portal. I mean, these young guys are making plays. And look, Kiffin's not afraid to play young guys. I mean, you saw that with Quinshon Judkins. You saw it with Jaden Williams. You know, he's not going to shy away from playing a true freshman if he can go and make plays. So
now the track record is hit or miss. Sure. But yes. But imagine Austin Simmons with weapons like Barry and Brown, Caden Lee, Caleb Cunningham. Pick another one, the Texas Tech wide receiver. Pick another one if you want to. And this train keeps rolling down the tracks. There is no, oh, well, I hope they can win 7 or 8. Heck no. It's, hey, don't lose to Kentucky next year. But that's for another podcast. This has been a Talk of Champions recruiting pod with my man, Zach Berry. I've got to point that way. With my man, Zach Berry, at Zach_Berry on Twitter. I'm at Spirit Ben. We've been inside, or I have, the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top. No one in Oxford, Mississippi is doing as much than Riverland to go get these portal guys to help Ole Miss in this player procurement, pursuits. So go to riverlandroofing.com, support them, give them your business, 662-644-4297. Go to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and a food of on three. And right now we've got a silly season sale going on. $1 for a sub. We'd love to have you. It's me. It's Zach. It's Billy and Body. It's Jake. It's Chuck. We're all there, and we're going to be covering all of this from all angles every single day. All you got to do is come hang out with us and ask us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. Zachary, I appreciate the time. I love the hat even more. It took me forever to figure out what it said for a second because it was camo and you can't see it. But thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. We'll do it again.
Yeah, buddy. Go get you one. Slow Down Dry Goods in Memphis, Broad Avenue Arts District. Go get one.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy 2 or 3 select major appliances. And when you buy 4 or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.